Greetings, and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Richard Kingsley, pastor of Corpus Christi Parish in Tucson, Arizona. It is the 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
My name is Father Richard Kingsley. I'm a pastor of a parish named Corpus Christi in Tucson, Arizona. I've been a friend of Father Nathan's for 33 years. And I'm here on vacation, and he put me to work. So that's what friends do, right? But I've been here before, and I preached here before, and I appreciate this opportunity. Today I would like to take a little bit of the gospel section by section, only the first three sections, not all five, and make a spiritual commentary, and then try to share with you lessons I believe the Lord is trying to teach us. Was trying to teach his disciples, but in trying to teach us, not just from this particular little pericope, but from the gospel as a whole. And I'm sure you can draw your own lessons, but I'll show you what I think of mine that I need to learn. So we begin in my translation that I read, says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. You see, the life of Jesus is not a series of unforeseen events. There is an overall arcing plan, a divine strategy. The goal of Jesus' life, we're told, is to be taken up. But ascension can only be reached by walking the road that leads to death and resurrection before you get to ascension. This is the road to Jerusalem. Therefore, Jesus summons his courage and determination, and he moves towards the penultimate events of death and resurrection in the holy city. And then we're told he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went to another village. James and John, whom Jesus appropriately named the sons of thunder in Mark's gospel, fulminate here. They react to rejection by rejection. Sound familiar? We all do it. It's very human, but certainly not the way of Jesus. So they respond in kind, only with a little bit more muscle. Mere refusal of welcome is met with a scorched earth policy. The Samaritan village will not welcome Jesus because he's a Jew. And he's heading for Jerusalem. This is due to the general animosity between Samaritans and Jews. It's a long history, probably close to 900 years, where there's hatred and prejudice and animosity and rejection of each other. And so the Samaritans refuse hospitality. And that this refusal triggers a retaliatory reaction to the sons of thunder. And they want to call down fire from heaven to recruit God as a destructive agent of their own anger. Sound familiar? Certainly their understanding of God is far from that of Jesus and of many people living today as well. Of course, this passion for revenge is the exact opposite of the way of Jesus. His disciples must be able to return blessing for a curse. They must return love for hatred. So Jesus rebukes their overall proposal. It's interesting that James and John, they assume that they are able to effectively pull God's chain and get the Lord of heaven and earth to do their bidding. But Jesus doesn't rebuke their presumptuousness. He targets their whole mindset. They are not displaying either love of God or love of neighbor here. They are mindlessly escalating simple rejection into catastrophic reprisal. And so, the better and more practical approach is, let's move on. Let's go to some place where we'll be welcomed, to another village. And then the text, and I'll stop my commentary here and get our lessons perhaps. We're told that they were going along the road, and someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Even though the days are drawing near for Jesus' ascension, his disciples still need instruction in the basic attitudes and mindset of what it means to be a follower of his. The same is true for this would-be disciple. The same is true for all of us who want to be his disciples. A man, we're told, is met along the road, declares his intent to follow Jesus. And his enthusiasm is captured in his absolute language. He speaks without conditions. He will follow Jesus wherever he goes. But at this moment, Jesus is going where? To his crucifixion in Jerusalem. Has his unbounded zeal taken that into consideration? And Jesus' imaginative response injects a note of realism into this romanticism. And that's always a good thing. Although animals, birds, and foxes have a home in this world, the head of the Son of Man, Jesus himself, and the new humanity that he represents, cannot find a place to rest in a socially constructed world in which he lives. Jesus' way consists in not belonging to the present order of things. It entails a continual struggle to bring about a new understanding of God and neighbor and to create society that is based on this new understanding of who God is, who we are. That's the key. Any eager desire to follow Jesus must reckon with the difficulties of never belonging to what appears the natural way or the human way. The way of creating a home on this earth as it is. There's a lot of lessons for us here. Let me just point out a couple of them. We see throughout the Gospels, especially in John's Gospel, that Jesus is calling us, his disciples, to a new humanity. A new way of being human in the world. He calls us, but he also demonstrates to us what this new consciousness an understanding of God and ourselves looks like, thinks like, and acts like. And so he reveals God's dream. From the very beginning, God had a dream for creation, and that this God of unconditional love is to take flesh, incarnation, to take flesh in us, as he did in Jesus. God is the one who acts in you, through you, and as you. But God cannot do that, Jesus tells us, unless we have a change of mind. Metanoia, a different way of thinking and seeing the world, ourselves, others, and God. And he tells us we have to get out of the way. If you were here last week, there was that talk about denying oneself. You want to follow me? You must deny yourself, the self, the ego. Not only that, but this week, he's saying you must be totally committed to the kingdom of God. Nothing can get in the way, as we see in these examples. Nothing. That's the commitment you need to make. Living the kingdom way. And so Jesus, as we see, exposes the fundamental human problem out of which all other problems spring. And what is that? It's the illusion. An illusion that we're separate from each other, that we're separate from nature and from the spirit. My brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us disciples to change our attitudes, our mindset, in order to do and to be about what he was, which he lived, preached, and died for, was the kingdom of God. And that was by transcending, as he did, all boundaries, all walls, all prejudices that separate us from one another, be it religious, ethnic, racial, gender, or even sex. My brothers and sisters, we are called to bind together the human and the divine, to honor and respect the divine in everyone and all things. When I begin Mass at my parish, after I do the regular introduction, I say namaste. Many of you, I'm sure, know that Sanskrit word. Basically, for me, it means the Christ in me honors the Christ in you. And so we begin that and call that to mind, that we must begin, first of all, to recognize the essential self, the God in everyone. And from there, then we move into all other things. But the more we practice and place our attention and focus on the essential self, the illusion of separation begins to fade. And so I would ask you, find your own way to practice or to focus in on daily this mindset of recognizing the God in everyone you meet throughout the day. And then, as with our Master, if we do that, the life we live will be the life of God. And the love that we share will be the love of God. The human and the divine then flows together into oneness. I believe that that is the dream of God. And that, I believe, is Jesus' vision of a new humanity. And you and I are called to make it reality.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, Director Gary Glover, Associate Director Michael Rector, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.